This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. Abdullah ibn Jubayr, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, was one of the closest of the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And so he said, and of course every time he would ask him about different verses of the Quran, because he was one of the most knowledgeable of the Quran, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make dua for the Prophet for Abdullah ibn Abbas. He used to say to him, Allahumma faqqihu fi ddeen wa 'allimhu at-ta'wil. Oh Allah, help him to understand the deen and teach him the ta'wil, the interpretation of the Quran. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was one of the most knowledgeable of the Quran, of the verses that was revealed. And he said, he had Mujahid and Sa'id ibn Jubayr. These were tabi'i, meaning these were students of the companions who were very, very close to Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he would ask him of different verses. And one day he said to him, Sa'id ibn Jubayr said to his teacher, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and when he was asking about وَفَتَنَّكَ فُتُونَ, this is verse number 40 in Surah Taha, وَفَتَنَّكَ فُتُونَ, and we tested you with trials and tribulations, meaning different trials and tribulations. And so he said, سَأَلْتُ عَنِ الْفُتُونَ مَهُ, I asked him about these trials, what were they? And so he said, استأني في النهار يا ابن جبير. He said, let's start at the early part of the day. Let's start. This is the end of the day already. Let's start when it's the beginning of the day, يا ابن جبير. فَإِنَّ لَهَا حَدِيثًا طَوِيلًا, because it's going to be a long talk or a long story. And so he said, فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحْتُ غَدَوْتُ إِلَى ابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ لِأَنْتَجِزَ مِنْهُ مَا وَعَدَنِي مِنْ حَدِيثِ الْفُتُونِ. So when I woke up in the morning, I went to take advantage of the opportunity that he gave me and his promise to tell me about the trials and tribulations that were mentioned. And so he said, so Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, تَذَاكَرَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُلُسَاؤُهُ مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ وَعَدَ إِبْرَهِيمَ مِنْ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَمُلُوكَ. So Fir'aun was sitting with his people, with his advisors, and they were talking to each other about, they were mentioning about the promise of Ibrahim, promise of Allah for Ibrahim, towards Ibrahim, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make from amongst the progeny of Ibrahim prophets and kings. And so we know that during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the people who were in charge were the fara'ina. These are the pharaohs. During the time of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, during that particular time, the people who were in charge of Egypt, they were not the Egyptians. And that's why when you read the Quran and when you look at the verses in Surah Yusuf, the king that is mentioned in Surah Yusuf is always referred to as Malik. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اُتُونِي بِهِ وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ. So وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ, the king said, and the king did, where the king said, and the king saw. This is a miracle in and of itself, because when you read the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when you read the story of the time in which in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun, there is no mentioning of Malik. There's only a mention of Yusuf. I mean of Fir'aun. Why? Because what's the word Fir'aun? Fir'aun is a title for the king or the ruler of Egypt. So you say the Pharaoh is a title for the king of Egypt. But the king during the time of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was not an Egyptian. So through historical archaeological findings, just, you know, in our time, in our century, they found out that during the time of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, the people who were in charge of Egypt were an Asiatic people known as the Hyksos. They were known as the Hyksos. And they were a people who came and conquered Egypt, and they ruled Egypt for around 100 years. And that was the time that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam came to Egypt. And so that is why it is more, it's easier for them, meaning easier for who? Easier for the people of, it's easier for the people of the leaders, the leadership of Egypt at that time, to accept someone who was also a foreigner, because he himself, or they were themselves foreigners also. And during the time of Prophet, you know, later on, when Prophet Yusuf passed away, of course, the Bani Israel were who? Who is Israel? Who is known as Israel? Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. His nickname was Israel. So when you say, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Yaqub. And who were they? They were Yusuf and his brothers. And so remember, they lived in Canaan. And so they came to Egypt. In the story of Prophet Yusuf, the story of Prophet Yusuf was an answer to a challenge from the rabbis of Medina. The rabbis of Medina, they asked, they said, you know, they met, or the Meccans sent a delegation to Medina, and they said, one of the questions that they were told to ask the Prophet was that, how did Yusuf come to Egypt? Because it was not known to the Arabs. It was not widely known to the Arabs. But the Yahud, they knew the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. So the story of Prophet Yusuf tells us how Bani Israel ended up in Egypt. And of course, just like with every prophet and messenger, there are prophecies. Revelation that was revealed to them to tell their people what's going to happen in the future. So one of the things that was revealed to Prophet was promised to Prophet Ibrahim and his progeny, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Ishaq, Yaqub, Prophet Yusuf. From the progeny of Prophet Ibrahim, you will have kings. There will come from them kings and prophets. There will come from them kings and prophets. And so the people of the people in Egypt, when Prophet Yusuf, they thought that Prophet Yusuf was going to be that king and that prophet that would rule all of Egypt. And then he passed away. And when he passed away, the Hyksos were expelled. Also, And the Egyptians came back and conquered Lower Egypt. They reconquered Lower Egypt. So they took back their country. And when they were able to take back their country, Banu Israel became second class citizens, because the Egyptians were the people who had all the high level jobs and they had the status. It was their country. And the people who had the lower jobs, they were Banu Israel. Why? Just like, you know, how you know some Muslim countries nowadays, like in the Gulf countries, you have some people who will do some work, right? They have certain jobs that they would never take. The Arabs, the Khaliji, would never take, right? You don't see them going around cleaning the masjid, meaning even the Masjid al-Haram, right? Maybe they'll tell the cleaners, they're in charge of the cleaners. You don't tell them, you don't see them sweeping the roads. Where do they get the people sweeping the road? Who are the people sweeping the roads? They bring them from Bangladesh, from India, from different countries, from different areas. Because certain people in certain countries, they don't take certain jobs. And it's not only in the Muslim countries, also here. The only difference is here in the United States, in Europe and Canada, they bring in refugees. And they give them at least, you know, you can actually apply and receive citizenship. But the purpose is more economically. It's not just most people, they're always thinking it's going to benefit the people who are, like, what, the people who are coming, right? But no, the people who are coming are taking jobs that otherwise no one would take. You see, like, the border here, you see the borders of America and Mexico. You might think they're open. Who wants them open? The farmers. Because no one's going to go pick your apples for you. No. Is anyone going to go pick the apples? But, you know, you have people coming from Central America and from Mexico. They come and they're the ones who are doing all the intense labor, the hard, the difficult jobs. And so Prophet Yusuf, Bani Israel, they thought that, hey, you know what? It was Yusuf, and then he passed away. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ. And remember, Yusuf came. Yusuf brought مِنْ قَبْلُ. He came before بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, with evidences and proofs. With, you know, فَمَا زِلْتُمْ فِي شَكٍ مِمَّا جَاءَكُمْ بِهِ. But you, who are you? Bani Israel. You guys were still in doubt of what he brought to you. Like, remember we sent him because he was a prophet and messenger of God. He was a prophet and messenger. حَتَّى إِذَا هَلَكَ قُلْتُمْ. And then when he passed away, قُلْتُمْ لَا يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ رَسُولًا. There was a cessation, a time, a very long time. There was no prophet, and they were living under the authority of the Pharaoh, the pharaohs and the Egyptians. So they were second-class citizens. And what was it that they were hoping? They used to hear Prophet Yusuf, Prophet Yaqub, and the prophecies that Allah subhanahu wa revealed to them, that yes, you guys are a people, you are a people, your progeny, your descendants, they will come, there will come a people who will be kings and messengers and prophets of God. So that's what's giving Bani Israel hope. Like, that's giving them hope. Like, you know, there will be, we will again rise. We will not be oppressed and be in this state. There will come a time in which we will be able to raise our heads again. Right? But now they're stepping on our heads and our necks, and we're working and we're being almost enslaved. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا هَلَكَ قُلْتُمْ. Like, look at your faith. Even in all that prophecy, قُلْتُمْ لَا يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ رَسُولًا. You know, there's no other prophet coming, man. That's true. It's not true. Right? Who is saying this? What does Allah say? Like Bani Israel. Bani Israel, they said, قُلْتُمْ لَا يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ رَسُولًا. No, there's nobody else coming, man. Nobody's coming. This is how we're going to be forever. No prophet is coming from amongst us anymore. What does that mean? That means they didn't believe in the prophecies that were being told to them by Prophet Yusuf and the other prophets before that Allah sent to, you know, from amongst them, right? So this is Bani Israel. كَذَلِكَ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ مُرْتَابٌ. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, leads astray those who transgress and are doubtful. They're doubtful what? They're doubtful in what was promised. So what is promised? So Bani Israel, they always talk about this promise that's coming. And Fir'aun hears about it, and he knows about it, and the Egyptians hear about it. Oh, you guys, every time the Egyptian is oppressed, he goes, no, there will come a time. You know, you're not going to do this to us all the time. Just like how some Muslims are like, yeah, you know, we're divided. You're taking advantage of us. Imam Mahdi is coming. Right? Muslims are like, Imam Mahdi is coming. The Khilafah is coming back. And then we will have justice. And then we will see the strength and the unity of Muslims. And so during the time of Fir'aun, when Bani Israel was being oppressed, they used to speak to each other about this promise. And so Fir'aun, he hears about this and he knows about it. And the Egyptians know about it and they're talking about it and they're saying, you know, what should we do? What can we do like this? Let's squash this once and for all. Let's end all this talk. Right? Let's end all this talk. So they're looking at it, they're talking to each other, and Fir'aun is there. Inna Bani Israel. لَيَنْتَذِرُونَ ذَلِكَ مَا يَشُكُّونَ فِيهِ. Like Bani Israel, they're waiting for that time. They're waiting for that time. مَا يَشُكُّونَ فِيهِ. They have no doubt whatsoever. And وَقَدْ كَانُوا يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّ يُوسُفَ بْنُ يَعْقُوبَ And they thought that it was going to be Prophet Yusuf. He was the one that was going to be that prophet and king that would rule. That would rule Egypt. Right. But then فَلَمَّا هَلَكْ. And then when he passed away, قَالُوا لَيْسَ كَذَلِكْ. No, I guess that wasn't it. He wasn't the one. Meaning there's more. There's going to be some kings and messengers that are coming. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَعَدَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Allah promised Ibrahim. And so Fir'aun, when his advisors are speaking about it, and this is the topic of the day, he said, فَكَيْفَ تَرَوْنَا. So what do you think we should do? What do you think we should do? Look, they're like talking, thinking like, you know what? They're going to eventually be their prophets and kings. And what's going to happen when the prophets and kings come? What's Fir'aun thinking? Like, this is my kingdom. Another king comes here, that means I'm not going to be here. Right? Like, you don't even think about it. So the people who feel threatened. And another thing that we learn here is that Fir'aun believed. If he didn't believe in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Bani Israel, he didn't even have to do anything. Right, but he knew that, hey, you know what? This is something that they're talking about, and it might happen. So what can we do to like end all of this? And so they're in discussion, and they have their consultation, and they agreed. وَأَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ عَلَى أَنْ يَبْعَثَ رِجَالًا مَعَهُمْ الشِّفَارِ يَطُوفُونَ فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ فَلَا يَجِدُونَ مَوْلُودًا ذَكَرًا إِلَّا ذَبَحُوهُ. So they said, so they agreed, this is what we should do. But look, I want you to see this plan. This is really treacherous. They said, let's send men, group of men, you know what I mean? They're soldiers. Ma'hum shifar. These are like, you know, like the shifar are the knives that you use to slaughter animals. You know, like the big knives. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, he used to tell the companions, when you slaughter, make sure you sharpen a shifar. Sharpen the shifar. And then turn the animal away from it. Meaning turn, and of course, take all the other animals, don't let them see it also. And so that shifar. So let's send a group of men with their butcher knives. Right? Send them with their butcher knives. يَطُوفُونَ فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Go look amongst the Israelites, Bani Israel, and see if you find any baby, any boy, any baby that's any male that's born, then you slaughter him, you kill him. So look at this, subhanAllah. When tyrants feel threatened and they want to make sure they want to keep their seat, they will commit the worst atrocities. They will commit the worst of atrocities because they're afraid. And that's why some of the tyrants and rulers, when they're thinking, when they're afraid of their, that they're going to lose their seat or they're going to lose their power, they go around imprisoning people and they go around executing people and they go around what? Assassinating people. Right, there are some people, some leaders, that how you know how they got there, how they became where they had the status, the position where they killed. They had to kill a lot of people. Right, a lot of these rulers had to kill a lot of people, sometimes openly, sometimes, yeah, through assassination. Right, and I'm talking about all of these rulers, and they would do anything, even if they have to chop the people's bodies into pieces. Right. And they'll order anything. Because if you speak against them and they feel like they feel threatened, you're either going to jail or you're going to get killed. So Bani Israel, their talk is threatening his power and his ego also. And because he's very proud. And so he's sending, he says, okay, you guys, what do you think we should do? And okay, I think just send, kill all of them. Subhanallah. A baby that's born, how innocent, how weak and innocent and unthreatening is a baby. Yet you go, you send men with butcher knives and slaughter them in front of their mothers. In front of them. Look at that. Imagine this scene. Bani Israel, they have a baby, and the mother is shaking, is scared. There's a knock at the door. It's over. She knows that the baby is going to be slaughtered. Imagine, look at the difficulty, the hardship that the mother must feel. And that's what's happening to Bani Israel. Look, this is what happened to you. This is what Fir'aun is doing to you. And that's why the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa and Bani Israel from Egypt, it was a day of celebration, a day of thankfulness to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Bani Israel, Musa and Bani Israel, and he fasted on the day of Ashura. Shukran lillah. Thankful for because of the blessing, because Allah saved them from that type of situation and the things that they had to go through, that their babies are being slaughtered in front of the mothers. And this is something that's happening on a daily basis. And so after that, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, فَفَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ. So that's what they did. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْا أَنَّ الْكِبَارِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ يَمُوتُونَ بِأَجَالِهِمْ. And so when the elders died, you know, passed away due to old age, you know, it's time for them, you know, like eventually they die. وَالصِّغَارُ يُذْبَحُونَ. And then the babies who are supposed to replace them, they have been killed. They've also been killed. قَالُوا يُشَكُوا أَن تَفْنُوا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Like, you know, Bani Israel is about to end. You keep on killing all these babies. There, all these babies, there's no more. There will not be any more Bani Israel. فَتَصِيرُونَ أَن تُبَاشِرُوا مِنَ الْعَمَالِ الَّتِي كَانُوا يَكْفُونَكُمْ. So now you're going to have to do all that job, all the dirty job that Bani Israel is doing. Now you don't have any more. You're killing all of them. Who's going to clean the streets for you? Who's going to clean your bathrooms and your palaces? Who? Egyptians are not going to do it. Right? Like, the Egyptians are not going to do it. This is a job for the second class citizens. But the Israelites, they're the ones who are supposed to do that type of job. And so they agreed and they said, فَاقْتُلُوا عَامًا كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ ذَكَرْ فَيَقِلُّ نَبَاتُهُمْ. But you know, let's not kill all of them. Kill 1 year. 1 year you kill all the males. And then the other year you leave them so that they won't have huge numbers, right? You have us, you know, because it's just like in America and in Europe right now. America and Europe right now, you have a lot of Muslims, right? And so you look at the population of Europe, like in some countries, like in Italy, they said it's gone past because of everything that's happening, because because of the way that it's a very materialistic society and the family is not very strong. You have the breakup of the family. So now they're not having so many children. So when you don't have children, so if you die, if a person dies and they only have one kid, and so now you have two, a husband and wife dies, and so you just lost one, the whole generation. And if this continues, they say in how many years, like in 15 to 20 years, right now they're about to reach, if not yet, they've reached a point of no return, which means what? There's a point in which if the population is not increased, then they will not survive as a race. So who's going to be there? The Muslims. Alhamdulillah, our brothers and sisters, the Somali families, mashallah, we have... Right? You don't have two people. You have 10, 9 afterward, right? Alhamdulillah. The other, that one or two maximum. Two is too much. And if you have only two, you can't make up for that. Right? Because things are going to happen. You have to have more than two to replace. Right? To replace if you're going to die. And so if you get to a point where you're not going to Bani Israel, and so the Egyptians are saying, you know, we keep on doing that, we're not going to have anyone take care of us. But if we do this, then we'll keep their numbers low and we will not be the minority. We won't be threatened by them at least not in numbers, and we would still benefit from them, take advantage of them and benefit from them. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, وَدَعُوا عَامًا فَلَا يُقْتَلْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٍ. So 1 year they would not kill anyone. And فَيَنْشَأُ الصِّغَارِ, and so the youngsters would grow up. And they would take the place of مَكَانَ مَنْ يَمُوتْ مِنَ الْكِبَارِ, and they would take the place of those who were the elders who have passed away. And فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَكْثُرُوا بِمَنْ تَسْتَحْيَوْنَ. And so they won't, I mean, for those who you allow to live, it will not be a lot. And so you don't have to worry about فَتَخَافُوا مُكَاثِرَتَهُمْ إِيَّاكُمْ. So you won't be afraid of them, you know, overpowering you in numbers and so forth. And so they agreed to leave 1 year, kill 1 year, and leave those who are born for 1 year. So they would alternate. فحملت أم موسى بهارون في العام الذي لا يذبح فيه الغلمان. So Prophet Musa's mother gave birth to, and she was pregnant with Harun in the year that children were not killed. فَوَلَدَتْهُ عَلَانِيَةً آمِنَةً. So she gave birth without fear of the baby being killed, of anyone coming knocking at the door, because this was a year that they allowed them to live. فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنْ قَابِلٍ حَمَلَتْ بِمُوسَى. But then in the coming year, she was pregnant with Musa. فَوَقَعَ فِي قَلْبِهَا الْهَمُّ وَالْحُزْنُ. So she was worried and she was saddened. Now she's pregnant with a baby, but this is not the year to be pregnant. This is not the year to deliver, because there will come Fir'aun's men and soldiers will come knocking at the door, and they will slaughter the baby in front of the mother's face, in front of her. And so she, throughout her pregnancy, she was worried, scared, concerned. وَذَلِكَ مِنَ الْفُتُونِ يَبْنَ جُبَيْرٍ. And so the Prophet Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, that's part of the fitan, the trials and tribulations that his mother had to go through. In other words, مَا دَخَلَ مِنْهُ فِي قَلْبِ أُمِّهِ مِمَّا يُرَادُ بِهِ. She was as concerned about what's going to happen to Musa when she does give birth to him. That was something that was very, very difficult. It's not a day or two. Imagine the concern, the worry that you have, that when this baby is going to be born, they're going to come knocking. So what's going to happen? And she, the closer she is to delivering the baby, the more concerned, the more worried, the more anxiety she has. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to her, to calm her, revealed, أَلَّا تَخَافِ وَلَا تَحَزَنِي. So don't worry. When he is born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَوْحَى إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَى أَنْ اِقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَاقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِسَاحِلٍ يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. Allah subhanahu revealed, said, don't worry. Put the baby in a tabut, which is like a basket, you know, like that's sealed basket, and a basket that's sealed. So of course, you know, the water doesn't make sure that it stays floating. And throw him into the water. Like, Ya Allah. The ocean, the sea, the river. That's a scary place to put your son. To put your son. And Allah revealed to her, أَلَّا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Don't worry. Do what you're told. Don't be afraid. And do not be sad. إِنَّ رَادُوهُ إِلَيْكِ. إِنَّ رَادُوهُ إِلَيْكِ. We will return him to you. Don't worry. وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And we will make him amongst the prophets. So right now, Allah is promising her. But there are so many times when a person is promised something, and you know the promise of Allah is true. But it depends on your faith. Are you going to apply it or not? Many people, especially during fundraisers, we know that when we give 10, Allah will give us back 100. Do we believe that? We do. We say we believe it, right? But do we do it? Do we do it? Do we really believe? It depends on your faith, right? Sometimes you give, yeah. And who is it that kind of shaitan comes and then just whispers and threatens you? So Allah says, Allah tells him, we will also make him a prophet. Remember Bani Israel, they're talking about, oh, there's going to be a prophet. Oh, he's going to be one, he's going to be that one. The promise of Allah, like, your baby. Put your trust in Allah. Put your trust in Allah. Allah told you to do this, you do it. and Allah will give you even better. Not only will He give you a baby, He will return you. Don't worry, your baby will come back to you. How? Allah knows best. You know, like, how is this baby going to return to me? Right? When I put him into the sea here, right? When I'm putting him in the water already, how is he going to come back? You don't know how. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has plans. When you're giving $100, Allah is going to give you back at least 1,000 or more than that, up to 700-fold. How is it going to come through? I have no idea. I'm barely making it right now. How is this money going to come to me? I don't know. But if you put your trust in Allah, it will come back to you. And it will come back to you even more and better. Yeah, this is not just a little baby. This is a baby that's going to be a prophet, a messenger of God. وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَأَمَرَهَا إِذَا وَلَدَتْ أَن تَجْعَلَهُ فِي تَابُوتٍ ثُمَّ تُلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says. So Allah ordered her to put the baby, when she gives birth to him, in a tabut, in a basket, and then throw him into the ocean, the sea. فَلَمَّا وَلَدَتْ فَعَلَتْ ذَلِكَ بِهِ. And then when she gave birth, and she did what she was told. And when he was gone, the shaitan came. And like she could see the baby's floating away. And you know, it's still floating, but you can still chase it downstream, right? And you know, just in case, because that's the most difficult time, right? You just released, ya Allah, what did I just do? Am I doing it? Is this right or not? Is this good or bad? Is this what I should be doing? Ataha shaytan. The shaytan came, faqalat fi nafsiha. The shaytan whispered into her heart. And the shaytan whispers into people's hearts. And so what is his whispers? It's the ideas that he puts in your mind to disobey Allah. And so the shaytan says to her, why did you do this? You could, you know, it's easier for you. Isn't it easier for you than what you just did? I mean, this your son here, you know, the Fir'aun's men are going to come knocking, and then they're going to slaughter him. But then you take the body, you wrap him up, and you bury him, and it's over with, right? It's over with. But now you don't know where he is. You don't know if he's alive, if he's going to drown, how he died. You don't know what the end result is. And that's more difficult for you. And it is difficult when you don't know. You know, that's why some people who lose, like say they have the child kidnapped, right? One of the biggest sufferings that they have is like, you know, just give me closure. Like if he died, something happened to him, I want to know. But when you don't know, you still worry, and your worry continues and continues and continues. And so she, the only thing she's thinking about is her baby. And so, but the lesson here is shaitan. Look at the time he comes. Right? As soon as you're about to do something, oh, no, don't. Yeah, you sure you want to do that? Go down the river and chase and go get him back. Right? You sure you want to do that? I think, you know, the other way, yeah. It gives you closure and it ends everything. Yes, he's going to be slaughtered, but now he's going to drown. You don't even know if he's going to drown or not. And what's going to happen, you don't know. And you're going to worry for the rest of your life. It's not temporary. So this is what the shaitan is whispering in her ears. Like you don't know what the ocean, the sea will do to him. You don't know the fish and the sharks and so forth. You know, what's going to happen to him? You don't know. And you don't know where he's going to end up. And so, فَانْتَهَى الْمَاءُ بِهِ حَتَّى انْتَهَى بِهِ. He said, then the water took him to where it took him, to the area where the people who were the the women who were taking care of the queen, Fir'aun's wife, right? She's a queen. She's a queen. And who is this? What's her name? Asiya. She's a queen. And of course, she has servants. And these are the people who used to take care of her. And they would bring water for her. And these are the people that would, you know, help her when in the things that she needed. فَلَمَّ رَأَيْنَاهُ أَخَذْنَهُ. And when they saw it, they took it. But they were worried because they're servants. فَهَمَمْنَا أَيَفْتَحْنَا التَّابُوتِ. And they were worried. They didn't want to open it. Right? Because you have to understand, it's not one person who saw it. Right? How many people? The whole group. Oh, if I take this, I don't know, gold, who knows what's inside it? Treasures. And if the queen hears about it, what's she going? We're going to get in trouble. Right? Like, who opened it? What did you guys take from it? Did you guys take the gold out of here? They might get in trouble, right? So they didn't want to get in trouble. When they saw the basket that's covered up and sealed, they said to each other, they said, you know, this, maybe it's well, it's maybe it's a lot of treasures, wealth. Who knows? Who knows what it is? Inna fi hadha malin, maybe it's like, you know, gold or silver coins or whatever it is. It's like very expensive. Wa inna in fatahnahu, if we open this, lam tusaddiqna imra'at al-malik. You know, Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, the wife of the king. The wife of the king is not going to believe us. If we open it, she's not going to say, if we find, let's say we find money, and like, oh, we found, you know, we found 10 pounds of gold, for example. Like, I know you guys didn't find 10 pounds, there's probably 20. Where's the other 10? Where's the other 10? So, you know, she's not going to believe us. She's going to think we took it. So this is sealed. There must be a reason why it's sealed. So they were afraid to open. They were afraid to open. So they carried her, they carried the basket in the condition that it was in. And they did not, you know, shake it or anything to it at all until she gave. They didn't do anything. They didn't open it up. They didn't check what was in it. And they gave it to the wife of Fir'aun. They gave it to Asiya. And then when she opened it, she saw a baby boy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the love of this baby boy in her heart and made her happy. Every time she would see this baby, it's like, wow, this is what she's like, this is something that she fell in love with. She loved this boy so much. It made her so happy. But back, the mother of Fir'aun, فَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادِ أُمُّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. The heart of Prophet Musa's wife, Prophet Musa's mother, became empty. Empty of what? Empty of everything. There was nothing in her heart except for Musa every single day. Musa, who is he? Where is he? What's happened to him? And she couldn't think about anything else. Her days and nights were just her concern. Even though she believed that Allah would return him to her. But you know, you're worried still. Just because you put your trust in Allah does not mean it's okay to still be worried, right? And to be concerned. Just like Hajar, when she was going back and forth between Safa and Marwa, and the baby doesn't have anything to eat and drink, do you think she was not worried? She was worried, but did she put her trust in Allah? Yeah, she did. She didn't follow her husband. When her husband said, when she said, did Allah order you to do this? She said, yes. Or he said, yes. And she said, if that's the case, Allah would not abandon us. meaning Allah will take care of us. Did she believe that? Yes. Because if she didn't, she would still be running after him. But she was still concerned, worried, and she's going back and forth. And that's, she put her trust in Allah. But you're still worried. It's normal. It's okay. But sometimes that worry, what does it do to you? It pushes you to return to Allah and supplicate to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ and increase in your prayers, your dua. So sometimes Allah gives you a test. And this is part of the test. وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ The tests in the story of Prophet Musa, this is the mother of Prophet Musa is being tested. But it's making her a stronger Muslima, raising her status because of her patience. And she's returning to Allah. And you know, when a believer is tested, they are stronger. And so after they hear about this baby, who are the people? فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ الذَّبَّحُونَ بِأَمْرِهِ So remember, there are a group of people who are in charge of killing all babies that were born this year. Right? So, you know, we hear a baby. We hear there's a baby that we didn't get to kill. There's a boy. And he's in the palace. So they come after. فَأَقْبَلُوا بِشِفَارِهِمْ إِلَى امْرَأَةِ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَذْبَحُوهُ So the soldiers with their butcher knives, they're coming to the wife of Fir'aun to slaughter him. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, وَذَلِكَ مِنَ الْفُتُونِ يَا ابْنَ جُبَيْرِ He says, this is part of the test here that I'm talking about, O ibn Jubayr. فَقَالَتْ لَهُمْ She says, the queen says, leave him alone. Don't touch him. Leave him alone. I will not allow you to slaughter to slaughter him, to kill him. اتركوه فإن هذا الواحد لا يزيد في بني إسرائيل This is only one. It's not going to increase in number. You're worried about the increasing in number. There's only one person. Just one. Leave this one. Ya Allah. It is that one. Just one. That's all it takes. Right, and he's going to be that one. Like, leave him alone. He's only one. It's not going to increase in the number of the Israelites. حَتَّى آتَى فِرْعَوْنُ فَاسْتَوْهَبَهُ مِنْهُ So she can't. And so they... she says, حَتَّى آتِي فِرْعَوْنُ فَاسْتَوْهَبَهُ مِنْهُ So let me just go to Pharaoh and let me ask him. I'm going to ask him that he give him, allow me to keep him. And if he gives it, فَإِنْ وَهَبَهُ لِي كُنْتُمْ قَدْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ وَأَجْمَلْتُمْ He says, you know, you guys did your job. If he says, okay, I allow him to stay. Keep him. Then you did your job, you came after him. He can't punish you. He's not going to say, oh, you didn't do your job. Why did you leave this man, this person? No. We came after him. We wanted to kill him, right? She didn't allow us. And now, who's going to give the command to not kill? Who's the only one that can? Fir'aun himself. So Asiya brings him to Fir'aun. And she brings him to Fir'aun. And she says, قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ Look at this baby. He's just the apple of my eyes and your eyes, for you, for us. He says, as for you, yeah, maybe, but not for me. Fir'aun, he goes, not for me. And you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, I swear. If Fir'aun on that day would have said, he is the apple of my eyes also, Allah would have guided him and made him follow Musa and be a Muslim and in Jannah. If he would have said, because she says, قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ لا تقتلوه. Do not kill him. Maybe we can take him as our own son, or we can take benefit from him and make him, you know, or have him as our own son. So he says, not for me. Make you happy, but not me. He's not making me happy. And so, but she, the wife of Fir'aun, she was able to save Musa alayhi salam. She was able to save Musa alayhi salam. And the butchers, the soldiers who were looking for the baby, they weren't able to kill them, and Fir'aun prevented them. Said, "No, just leave him alone. And he will end up." And then, of course, in the end, this is the baby that he was afraid of. This is the baby that he called, that the people were talking about. This is the prophecy that was mentioned. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something, if all the world were to try to stop it, they can't stop it. And if Allah decrees that something will not happen, it will not happen. No matter what. Even if you throw it into the ocean, it will not die. And so that's another lesson. Sometimes you're in a difficult situation. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just follow the commandments of Allah. If the whole world wanted to kill you, they won't be able to. If the whole world wanted to harm you, they would not be able to. All of Egypt, all the Egyptians and all the king's men, they were looking. He was this close from being killed. But because Allah decreed it, he was going to be that baby that would survive. And so inshallah, we're going to end it right here. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll continue with the other part, continuation of the story of Prophet. But tomorrow, I know we have hadith, but like I said, I wanted to just stop a little bit because I think you guys like stories, right? Yes. Everybody likes stories. And these stories are not stories that are fake. They're not made up. They're the best of stories. Such the best of stories. Not only are they the best of stories, so many lessons to help you to be a better Muslim, to take a lesson from. Just the beginning of it, we learn that you put your trust in Allah, and no one can harm you. You put your trust in Allah and you sacrifice for Allah, Allah will give you even more. Allah, but sometimes it's not easy. فَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَدُ أُمُّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. Now back in the household of the mother of Prophet Musa and the family, they're worried. She's extremely worried. How am I going to see him? Where's my baby? Is he safe or not? How is that going to happen, inshaAllah? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, tomorrow, inshaAllah, will clarify to us. InshaAllah, we'll end it with this right now. We ask Allah subhanahu to give us the best of this world and hereafter. SubhanAllah, wa bihamdika, shalala.